Good morning. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report. A wildfire burning out of control east of Sacramento is threatening 2,000 homes and another 1,500 small structures. The King Fire has already ravaged over 40 square miles and is only 5% contained. Meanwhile, in Southern California, a new tool is now available to help homeowners and firefighters gauge where fires might erupt following the region's famous Santa Ana winds. The Forest Service has released the Santa Ana Wildfire Threat Index. It's a mapping tool that uses weather modeling and decades of data to rank fire danger during the hot, dry wind events. The map will cover Santa Barbara to San Diego and provide a 6-day forecast. University of California President Janet Napolitano says she wants the system to be a national leader on curbing sexual assault and violence on campus. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tintakalis has more.
A special UC task force released 7 key recommendations yesterday at the Board of Regents meeting. Topping the list is creating an independent and confidential office at each campus for these cases. Napolitano says UC needs a system-wide approach to dealing with sexual misconduct.
We at the University of California must maintain zero tolerance for sexual violence and sexual assault on our campuses.
Another recommendation requires ongoing mandatory anti-sexual assault training for all students and faculty. UC Berkeley already requires training because it was placed on a federal watch list for the way it's handled these cases. The big question is how UC will pay for these initiatives. Ann Seymour is a sexual assault survivor who attends UC Berkeley. She told the Regents, "Actions speak louder than words."
Give us the money necessary to fund anti-sexual assault programs that will make a visible difference on UC campus.
Napolitano is pledging to find the funds, though the cost is still under review. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
It will be years before the package of bills signed by Governor Brown this week will have any real impact on the pumping of California's overstressed groundwater basins. But change could come a lot faster, depending on the outcome of a little-known lawsuit wending its way through the courts. The state Supreme Court's been asked to take up a legal fight that could force local authorities to place limits on groundwater pumping. Daniel Potter reports from the Scott River in Siskiyou County.
On a map, the Scott River runs right through Tom Minnie's farm. But this summer, the word river didn't quite capture it. More like a sad patch of gravel next to Minnie's alfalfa fields.
There's just little puddles now. You're standing at the bottom of the river right now.
The Scott's flow relies on snowmelt from the surrounding mountains. But this past winter, there was hardly any snow to speak of.
But the water's still flowing here. It just goes underground through here. In different areas you go, you'll see it come back up.
That underground water is what Minnie's crops depend on. Massive pivoting sprinkler rigs draw from wells to slake a couple thousand acres. Alfalfa is used mainly to feed livestock and is a notoriously thirsty crop, though Minnie says he gets by with a fraction of the recommended water. Minnie has blue eyes and a mustache, and a sprint car he and his family sometimes race in competitions. They've been on this land most of his life, but the way things are going, he's already warned his kids that it might not last forever. As if to underscore the farm's uncertain future, a well pump is sucking air from underground, on the verge of running dry.
I'm picturing a Slurpee with a straw at the bottom of it, but it's just about out of water, and so we're...
Same thing. There's a certain amount of water at the bottom of that well, and I'm asking for more than it has. And so ever so often, it'll pull air instead of water.
That sucking sound is at the core of a legal battle that could start a new chapter in California's historic water wars. In July, a judge ruled that when Siskiyou County issues drilling permits, it has to account for how wells like Minnie's might take away from the river on the surface farther downstream.
Some people view groundwater resources as purely private property.
That's UC Davis law professor Richard Frank.
They happen to own property and drill a well, which in many places they can do without any government review or approval at all. They think they can extract as much water from that well as quickly as they wish without any limitation.
Frank begs to differ. He's co-counsel alongside the Environmental Law Foundation in the case targeting Siskiyou County to protect the Scott River. It's part of a years-long effort that builds on a landmark case from 1983. That's when the California Supreme Court put limits on how much water Los Angeles could divert from streams feeding into Mono Lake. Frank says the current drought bolsters the argument against treating water as private property.
The public trust doctrine says that no, water is itself a public resource.
Both Frank's team and their opponents want to skip a few steps and go straight to the state Supreme Court. Just where and when the public trust doctrine can be used to protect groundwater hasn't been spelled out before. And back in Siskiyou County, Preston Harris worries it could be a game changer for agriculture.
It's very easy for people to point at a dry riverbed and see sprinklers going in the background and just say, oh, geez, the farmers are completely dewatering the system.
Harris heads up the Scott River Water Trust and isn't real big on outside regulation. He complains that farmers are being scapegoated and his county is being used as a sort of legal testing ground in a much bigger fight.
I think the movement for groundwater regulation that's coming from the other side is it's not necessarily directed at our valley, even though the lawsuit is directed at our valley. It's for statewide ramifications.
The legal ramifications of this standoff over a relatively small river in rural California have the potential to change whole ways of life, and soon.
They definitely feel like they're the guinea pig in this. I've heard that in many meetings.
Crystal Robinson is the environmental director for the nearby Quartz Valley Indian Reservation, which favors protecting the river. Another tribe farther downstream also depends on it for fishing. On a bridge near where the river rises to the surface for a few miles, Robinson points to a couple torpid fish, seemingly stranded in this short stretch of shallow water.
The river is coming out of the ground just not too far upstream from here, and we've got this section of habitat, and it's going to go subsurface a few miles from here. And they're kind of trapped.
As somewhere the gears of the state's legal apparatus grind forward, the fish are stuck waiting and hoping more water comes soon. Not unlike the farmers nearby. For the California Report, I'm Daniel Potter in Siskiyou County.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, September 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. URS, a global engineering and construction firm providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.